Hey, and welcome back. Only a couple questions today. The first one is, please explain how you came to your interpretation of Luke 17:37 in the Remedy, which reads, where will we find you, Lord? They asked. He said, you can be certain you will not find the Son of Man where people seek to speak with the dead. Think of vultures eating corpses, for that's what's happening there. And so if you read a wide variety of translations, you will find that this goes a variety of different ways. The context is Jesus talking about the second coming and about how people will seek him here and seek him there and all these other places, and they shouldn't go to these places. And he ends up with this description about, you know, the dead. Some interpret, some translations use the word vultures, others use the word eagles. Some talk about going toward where the dead are. Some talk about it. So this is open to wide variety of interpretation. My view is that he's telling them it's going to be a literal physical coming, and don't be trapped into the secret chambers and the secret seances and the spiritualistic things and that are going to go on, that that when Christ comes, you will see him as lightning, or the sun rises in the east and shines to the west, the Son of Man will come, and the whole world will be lighted by his glory when he comes. So that's my view of that. This question is not just for myself, but could you use more volunteers at the GC convention to operate your Come Reason booth? So thank you for asking that. We have our team is set up, so we have plenty of people that we've assigned and we're going to be bringing along. However, if any of you that follow us want to come by and spend a little time with us at our booth, feel free to come by. Last time we did this, we had people that wanted to come by and just share in the sharing. And if you want to do that and you happen to be at the GC, well, then feel free to come by. And we will let you stand there with us and help pass stuff out to people coming around. So we'd glad to see you, meet you, and if you want to spend a little time with us. But we've got an entire team already scheduled and set to go to help do this. So we're not short staffed, but we'd love to have you be part of it if you'd like. And then the last question is very short today. Is this our first time having a booth at the GC? No, we had a booth at the GC in 2015 in San Antonio. We were approved for one in 2020, but that got canceled, as you know, because of COVID. And then it goes on to ask a couple questions if something has changed. Now, we've had a booth, I guess, since the first GC after we incorporated was 2015. And so we've had one then, and we've been approved in 2020, and we've approved again this year. So no, this isn't a new development. So thank you. And that's all the questions. Did you guys have any questions? All right. Y'all have a happy Sabbath. Oh, yes, John? Yeah.
Some of the human law must be based on God's law. Because how people are treated with others, isn't there some basis, whether they agree?
Correct.
Some natural law or some imposed law is based on God's law to some extent.
Imposed laws only operate in a world of sin. Only in a world of sin are there imposed laws. But loving people who have new hearts, like loving parents, will set up artificial rules based on the design laws, whether it's not playing in the street, whether it's brushing your teeth, whether it's what foods that you allow your children to eat, the laws of nutrition, the laws of physics in the street, the laws of thermodynamics for your teeth brushing. You will set up artificial rules for the children to protect them and teach them for the purpose of them maturing and one day having them written on their hearts and minds. And so your adult child, you don't say, you know, when somebody sees them brushing your teeth, why are you doing that? The adult child doesn't say, well, my mother has a rule. You don't answer that way.
Well, governments can set up rules to protect the public.
Correct. And that's what Paul makes in Romans chapter 13, that God permits the governments to set up these rules for this purpose, to stop the evil people from abusing and exploiting others. Having a legal justice system from a godless government is better than having just total anarchy and chaos where anybody who gets a spear, a gun, a gang can go and just rape, pillage, and murder anybody they want, like the Vikings used to do in England and so forth until they were stopped. So yes, godless governments have set up some type of structure with some type of reliability and consistency, even though it will be unjust because it will be exploited by people behind the scenes, is it creates a better atmosphere than just anarchy. But again, in the context, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. It doesn't operate this way. And this type of system only operates in sinful spaces. doesn't operate in the rest of the universe this way.
What about an administration of a Christian business to have certain goals? Like, for example, don't check your email at work, or don't make sure that you sterilize your instruments and stuff like that. And those are rules. Don't take the pregnancy test for your own use. And is that bad to have? And those are all clearly explained to the employees when they come.
No, that type of structure is necessary because why? Because you're dealing with people. Why do you have to put that structure in place? Because it's not in the heart and mind to do it naturally.
Now, sometimes it's not of the problem when they're not wanting to. But I had a nursing student who put the speculums through the dishwasher but failed to sterilize them and put them all back in the drawers.
Right. Again, so because it's not, and notice I said heart and mind. God writes his law on our heart and mind. Heart is the motive. Mind is the understanding, comprehension, and agreement. Okay, heart motive. I want to do the right thing, but I'm 2 years old. Three or four or five-year-olds may have a really good heart to help mommy and daddy, but have no clue about what the right thing to do is. Okay, but the mature developed by practice, and when we're in heaven, we will have right heart and right understanding of why it's right.
So that means in our administrative situation in this world for running businesses and various things, there is a place for imposed rules with...
Not just a place, it's a requirement. If you don't have it, you get anarchy.
That's right.
It's a requirement in sinful spaces to have arbitrary made-up rules and structure for organization. But the goal of a healthy, mature person, we implement those in harmony with what John was saying, the laws that life are built upon for establishing the greatest liberty of every person. Not for the restraint or the control of people, but for the protection of either ignorance and or exploitation of the evildoers in our society. We try to put up those hedges of protection, both from the ignorant and from the exploiters, while educating people. And that's the purpose of that structure.
It sounds like you're saying that if you set up a Christian business, it's all just sin. As an administrator, you can try your very, very best to be Christian, to give them instructions so they can run on their own.
Your Christian business, just like a Christian church, as Jesus said, the wheat and the tares grow up together in the church. You have the converted and the unconverted in the church. You have the converted and the unconverted in your business. If you don't have structure, then the unconverted will destroy the wheat, the weeds will destroy the wheat. And so the structure, again, is for the sinful spaces, which is this entire planet in which we live.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
So at some point, we're using this term violation of conscience. What prevents that term from becoming arbitrary? Because everybody could have a different standard for violation of conscience.
Leaving people free to make their decisions to leave or not leave without coercive pressure. For instance, if you have an employment situation where you're offering employment, and in your employment they have to, maybe you have a uniform that everybody wears a yellow shirt, and somebody says, it goes against my conscience to wear a yellow shirt. And you say, okay, you don't have to be employed here. Find a job somewhere else. I'm not making you wear a yellow shirt, but if you want to be employed here, everybody wears a yellow shirt. There's no coercion and conscience there because they're not being forced to work there. They want to work there. And then they, just like you don't have to work for a certain pay scale. If you look at a contract, they offer you a job at this pay. You don't have to take it. You can say, no, that's not enough for me. I need a higher pay. So you look somewhere else. That's not coercion. However, if you're put in a situation like an indentured servant or a slave, you're required to work or you're going to get beat and you're only going to get paid this much. Now you're being coerced. That's evil.
Thank you.
All right. See you guys next week.